prayer before reading of the Holy Gospel. Bless us, O Lord. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your Holy Gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings from you, our Lord and our God, forever and ever. Amen. Let me take this opportunity to first ask everyone who is here this evening to join me in opening up your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 23. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 23. And it reads as follows. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Glory be to you, O Lord, Baruch. Let me first begin by prefacing that we are in the days following the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned in the previous week, the theme that we have in the coming weeks, specifically in regards to the gospel reading we heard this past Sunday, as well as the gospel readings that will be coming forward in the coming Sundays as well, one of the major words for reflection is discipleship, especially Jesus beginning his public ministry and calling upon his disciples, who would be what I often refer to and what many of the church fathers would refer to as the first classroom in which Jesus had instructed. When I think about our lives, I think about how sometimes we often long for things to be crystal clear. We want them to be cut and dry, totally black and white. And we think that it's easier to decide what to do when the options are laid out before us with no complexity or no confusion at all. But you and I both know that, unfortunately, life really isn't like that. There are these shades of gray in our daily lives, and we're not always sure what we should do or how we should be doing things. And so I want to begin to think about the life of these first disciples who were called by Christ, Peter and Andrew, James and John. See, we may think for a moment they had it easy. It seemed like Jesus Christ just literally walked up right in front of them and said, "Follow me." He told them to stop what they were doing, leave the life they had known behind, and become his traveling disciples. And he basically said that no longer would they catch fish for a living. Instead, they would become fishers of men who would draw others into the new life that Jesus was bringing into the world. One of the things that we have to remember is they had to leave their nets behind in order to join the Lord in his ministry of preaching, healing, and casting out demons. See, they had a part to play in the coming of God's kingdom, which required a radical change of life. They would use their time and energy in very different ways. And one of the things I want to remind us is, when we look at the world today, some of people hear that same clear and radical call. I know for someone like me as a priest, or many of my brother priests who may be on the line right now, or deacons or seminarians, a lot of times we take up the call to offer ourselves for full-time ministry or being able to offer ourselves and dedicating us because we hear and accept the call of priesthood or whatever it may be. And a lot of times people may say, you know, that's their calling, but that's not mine. I can't do that 24/7, or I wouldn't be able to follow Christ like that 24/7 and take on the burdens and the shoulders. I don't think any of us expected this call in our day-to-day life. And I don't think any of us were just ready to go and say, yes, we will accept whatever it is that comes our way, whatever challenges. Even sometimes we ourselves as priests sometimes feel burdened or sometimes feel worried, especially when our flock is going astray. Or sometimes we share your burdens when you share prayer requests with us. I know there have been times where when people share prayer requests with me, it's hard for me to even sleep that night because I see them as my own brother or sister or as my own child or as my own parent, though they may not be related to me by blood. So what I want to remind us is that things in life are not always so easy. And hardly anyone takes such a step of faith without a lengthy process of discernment, a measure of fear and trembling. A lot of times we have to kind of sort through our own doubts, the criticism of others, and so on and so forth. And so there's not that much of a difference between how Christ called his initial disciples and how he calls anyone today. The outward details may be different, but no matter what our age or our life or our circumstance, he invites us all to leave behind whatever nets we've become tangled in and to play our part in the ministry of his kingdom. I don't know if you have probably processed it in this way, but oftentimes I remind lay people that Christ wants to make you a fisher of men who has aspirations higher than simply meeting our material needs for our daily work. So many people can't find, I know in the situations today they have difficulty in today's economy finding good jobs or sometimes any job at all. And what I want to remind everybody is that Christ did not denigrate any honest labor and neither should we. But we should be able to oftentimes not just look at the prestige of a profession or what education may bring us, but remember that Christ did not start his ministry by calling the movers and the shakers of the first century Palestine to be his disciples. He went after fishermen. He went after hardworking, common people who had no idea that they were going to be important or sophisticated in the eyes of the world. And I'm sure as many of you who might be in the business profession or who might be in leadership roles within your work, what does it mean to be a good leader? I don't think a leader just goes out and learns the qualities 1, 2, 3, 4, and bam, becomes a leader the next day. It doesn't work like that. To become a leader, oftentimes you have to become a follower first. You have to be able to learn, oftentimes from a guru or a teacher or from someone who's going to guide you to that position of leadership. And so it wasn't easy for Peter, Andrew, James, and John to leave behind the life that they had known to follow a traveling rabbi. What kind of promise is that? What kind of life was that for them? That here they were, they knew their professions, they knew their daily living, and then they went into moments of uncertainty following this man who they claimed to be his teacher and going into these positions where people were mocking and rebuking and were pretty much looking at them as if they were just foolish. And I'm sure they had their own doubts and fears and faced opposition, but they still responded to that call despite the cost. And sometimes God will call and direct some of you to new forms of service, and it requires radical reorientation of our lives. Christ will call us to stay sometimes right where we are. Sometimes he'll call us to move. Sometimes he'll call us to use our gifts and talents in the service of Christ in our local setting right where we are. But sometimes he'll call us to use those gifts and talents for another community or another group of people. So as we continue through this season, especially following the baptism of our Lord, I want us to remind ourselves of the baptism that we all received, the calling that we all received to be part of the royal priesthood, a holy nation. If something is really important to us, we devote our time and energy to it on a regular basis. I know so many of you who are athletes or musicians or great cooks or, you know, whatever it may be in life, all of you have come to that point in your life to achieve those things by putting a lot of time and energy into it. And I have no doubt that it took a long time to get to where you needed to be. And so as members of Christ Church, I think we have to remind ourselves that the Christian life and the cost of discipleship is great, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of energy. It takes daily prayer. It takes faithful attendance at services, regular fasting, regular confession of our sins, generosity to the poor, forgiveness of those who wronged us, using our gifts and talents to strengthen others. And the list just keeps going on and on and on and on. It doesn't mean that the Christian life is meant to be burdensome. It's meant to be joyous. But it's a matter of taking our spiritual lives seriously and genuinely working at opening our hearts, souls, and minds to God. And so I conclude this evening by reminding you that as a community, in terms of being members of the body of Christ, we all have a calling to become fishers' men. We truly need to leave whatever nets that hold us back from hearing and responding to what Christ is calling us to do. And the same Holy Spirit who made these fishermen supremely wise and wonder-working ministers of Christ has come upon us. And so I want to remind you that these ordinary men became extraordinary because of what Christ was able to do through them. But they were willing to let go of their nets, and they were willing to hear the call and follow him. So it requires listening, and it requires obedience to the will of God. Like those first apostles, let us truly take the effort to become fishers' men. And that begins by us willing to let go of ourselves and truly follow after the will of God. Continue to pray for God's blessings upon each and every one of you, especially as we have just begun just 2 weeks into a new year. Many of us may have made resolutions or whatever it may be, but there's always a time where we can continuously reflect and rework those resolutions and rework those commitments and continue to pick up ourselves. And don't ever stop trying, or don't ever feel like you're a failure in life. Because, as I mentioned before, to become a true disciple, one has to grow through rigorous training, sometimes failure, sometimes pain, sometimes suffering, and sometimes even having to go through those periods of having to worry in terms of not the worldly type of worries, but having to worry in terms of our future, in terms of our life in Christ, and our present moment in our life in Christ. So may we be enabled to bring Christ into this world and to the people around us, and may we leave, again, our nets behind, those things that are burdening us, those things that are causing us to stumble, those things that we know are hindering our lives with Christ. Let us let that all go and walk with Christ and hear his voice. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. To the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now, always, and forever and ever. Amen. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever. Amen.